Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Iggy. Iggy is a Reiki master, certified sound therapist and Tang's acupuncture licensed practitioner. Iggy has more than 20 years of experience in complementary and alternative medicine practices and bioenergetic healing work, and is also a meditation teacher. Since 1990, Iggy has been working as a professional musician, performing alongside international stars, leading and co-leading successful groups from classical to contemporary music, from jazz to folk and experimental avant-garde. Iggy is currently involved in promoting his music, teaching, practicing, and sharing the joy and simplicity of life with his fellow friends. Hey Iggy, welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks, Swaram, for inviting me. And a big hello to all your listeners and all the sannyasin following this podcast.
Thank you, my friend. I'm so happy to have you on the show and chat with you. I've known you personally for many years. We met in London approximately 10 years ago, I think. But I never had a chance to sit down and hear your story about how you got into Osho meditation and Reiki and Chinese medicine and all the rest. We enjoyed time together. We meditated together. We talked a lot in general about so many things, but never went into personal matters. So as they say, I'm all ears and really look forward to this conversation. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you got started in your spiritual journey and when and how you came to know about Osho.
Well, the story of my spiritual journey started very, very soon in an unconscious way. I didn't like to read when I was in school. I didn't like to read too much school books, but was really so fascinated by spiritual books. And one of the first books that I read, I was about 12, and was Italian book called Il Tao e il Sublime, The Tao and Sublime. After that, I started reading books about Buddhism, and my mother was a bit worried about it because I also liked to read a book called, a magazine called The Journal of Mystery. I think it's still in Italy, still published, The Journal of Mysteries. And I wanted my mother to buy it. And this journal basically was spoken about spirituality, about UFOs, about exoteric traditions. So my mother was scared and said, okay, don't trust the things. I said, mom, don't worry, just buy that to me and I promise I will not trust. So that was, I was always interested in finding something was resonating. And I had a lot of curiosity and thirst for answers. Many years after, it was 1999, I was in Rome, and that was a very sad period in my life. A few years before, my mother passed away, and I probably never didn't have the chance to work on this loss. My mother died with my hand, taking my hand. I was the only one there when my mother passed away, the only one, because I have two other brothers and a sister. So, but I was the only one there when my mother passed away in my hands, which even my hand to her. And I didn't have Reiki at the time, but then I learned that taking your hand is the best way to let people die, you know, in a very good energy. And so for the soul, it's very important for the soul. And the same thing after that happened in 2003, I also lost my father. And the same thing happened to my father again. When I lost my father, I was the only son there present. And again, my father died in my hand. So I think this is the most saddest and also the most luckiest things that happened in my life. But anyway, in 1999, so that was a very sad period. I lost my mother, and I also broke up with my girlfriend at the time, and it was a very deep relationship. And so it was a very, very, very bad period. And I remember that I was in my room playing my guitar, and an angel came through my door. He knocked the door. It was a guy that I knew, was a friend of, I was living with others, two other guys in at the time in Rome. And this guy just knocked at the door, and I said, come in. I say, hey, Iggy, how are you? Well, it's not the best period in my life, you know, but listen, you have to come to this course. I just finished a record class, and you have to go. It's beautiful. It's at the Osho Center in Rome. At the time, it was the Osho Kibani in Rome. And you have to come. Trust me, it's something that is going to make you much, much better. And I said, okay, I'll have a try. Let's see. I was more interested in meditation at the time, actually. But when this guy came to me and just proposed me to go and to look for this course, I just went. So in 2 days, I went. And the thing is that I think in a couple of days, they were setting a new Reiki class. So I just get in, and it was Osho New Reiki. Was the Osho Center in Rome, and there I had this beautiful experience that since then it just accompanied me in my life.
Wow, that's wonderful and very touching, and thanks for opening your heart and telling us these very delicate and intimate moments in your life. So it looks like Osho came at the right time, and then at the time that you really needed, and you were open, and the most difficult time. Something I wanted to ask you, in fact, was how you came to know about Reiki, because I know that you are a Reiki master and teacher, and in the world of Osho and in the spiritual world in general, there are so many different traditions, there are so many paths and meditation techniques, and you chose Reiki, which, talking about the world of Osho, is not mainstream, you know, like Tantra or many other therapeutic approaches that are so beautiful. They are kind of more popular, if you like. You know, many people get into Osho and then they follow, you know, they get specialized or they get interested in many different things, but not much Reiki. I don't know many people who are into Reiki. So you explained that was your entry point in the world of Osho. Your friend said, you know, look, there is this course, and you went there and you did it. But after so many years, and obviously you got exposed to many sannyasins, many people, what is it about Reiki for you that makes you think that is your path versus, you know, Tantra, Zen, and all the other approaches?
Okay, thanks. This is a very, very good question. And just let me say before that many times, but I'm pretty sure that I'm saying something that you and all sannyasins know for sure. But in other cases in my life, every time I needed something, just Osho came to show that me in a way, just maybe walking, passing a bookstore and watching an Osho book and a title of the book that at the time was something maybe I was struggling about. And, you know, just reading that the title or some other people talking about just apparently out of nothing about some experience with the Osho meditation. So it is a constant synchronicity that every time something I need something, Osho is coming and telling me that it's time now. So that happens and was very good, was beautiful. Well, I started with Osho New Reiki and I became a Osho New Reiki master. But of course, since then, because of my thirst for meditation, for spirituality, that was also the moment I started knowing and practicing Osho meditations. In Italy first, then I moved to London. I lived in the UK for many years. And then also there, I also kept the practice of Osho meditations. And the Reiki for me is one of the paths. Everyone has to try and find what is the best path for himself. I just found that Reiki was perfectly good for me. Reiki is a combination of two words, Reiki, Rei and Ki. Rei is the cosmic energy and Ki is the our vital energy, our life force energy. So it's the Qi, what they call Qi also. So Reiki works more on the universal life, so on the cosmic energy. But they work for me very, very, very good. It's meditations and Reiki are, since then, everything that is part of my life. And I'm really, really grateful for the angel that came that day on the door and just, and I told him after many years, I met him and told him, thank you. You really, really made me a very big gift for all my life.
Beautiful. And I also take this opportunity to thank Gianni Emprano, who recently passed away, who ran and still run Gianni, the Osho Kivan in Rome, which is possibly the only Osho center in Rome. Or Rome is a big city. There are many sannyasins, but only one center really functioning for so many years. And it's also the place where I moved my first steps with Osho, doing the Osho meditations and meeting so many friends, people who really made an big impact in my life. So yeah, let's send love to Gianni and Prano, wherever she is. Okay, so something that is very obvious about you is the light emanating from your eyes and skin. You know, something I've noticed all the time. And just recently I met you. We went to Gaeta together. I came to visit you in this beautiful little town by the sea in South Italy. Wonderful place. So, and you have an aura of light that is visible. And it's not just the sunshine that you're very tanned and and healthy, but there is something more energetic, which is visible to the naked eyes. So in your case, there is no need of Kirlian photography to see there is something going on there. And you look at least 20 years younger. So it could be genetics. I'm sure you have good genes, but there is something to do with meditation and Reiki and your practice. So what's the secret? What's your personal daily practice that keeps you young and beaming with light?
Well, thank you so much. I mean, it's very kind of you. There's no secret, actually. That is a very natural. It's very, I like to say this quote, it's very natural to be supernatural. It's so easy to be unspecial. And so to be unspecial, you are special. So I think it's based on my experience of simplicity of life. So, you know, there are many, of course, the Reiki practice helped me. And I constantly practice since 1999 when I started. And probably, I mean, I know a lot of people that maybe try Reiki and they don't test nothing actually. And maybe they just, okay, they try, but it's not. But for me, it was different because I was thirsty. So I was really, really into find something that was more than I was looking around me. So that was going to put me in on more deep vibrations, and that is what it is. It's frequencies. There are vibrations. If you we are what we think. We are what we eat. We are what we desire. You know, and. So basically, having this concept of simplicity, having this concept of not wanting to do something special, but wanting to be really, really like a normal person, like a normal people, it puts you in a way where things happen. Things happen because, I mean, if you are special, if you think that you have special power or you are a special person, you are cutting experience out of it. Because if you are special means that something you are something that are not that you think they're probably not good for you are missing them, and maybe in that little thing, in the details, you have the treasures. So to be normal, to be into this state of simplicity, it just opens up a lot of things that maybe we would have not seen. And then of course is the work with Reiki and the work, because you know the quantum physics now has proven that matter is energy. Energy is matter, and if we work with Reiki, if you work with energy, cosmic energy, you raising up your chi, and if you work with your chi, you're raising up your universal energy. So it's related. It's direct proportional, and so of course energy work helps find the supernatural that is within everyone.
I love it. And you walk the talk, because I met you in London, even though we're from...
Yes.
We could have met at the Osho Givani, but we never met there. We met in London, and then we discovered that we were pretty much almost at the same time meditating in the same place. And then now, after many years, you came back to your original town, which is a small town in the south of Italy, and you're living a simple life. And I'll mention later on, but you're also a highly qualified musician and composer, and you could have had an astounding career. I mean, you work with some world-class musicians, and you performed in front of thousands of people in big stages, and you work for BBC, for Rai, for, you know, you've done some big projects, but at the same time, you chose to teach a school, in a secondary school, so that you also have time to do your own projects, to have time for your reggae, for your practice, and just live this simple life, walking to the beach and enjoy the very natural life that you can have in a small town by the sea, with all the downsides that also that means, because, you know, we all know the small mentality and the narrow-minded way of living of the reality of many of the small countries, especially in South Italy. So I want to commend you for that. It's not for everyone. It's not easy, but you're doing it. So you're not just saying it, but you are living that simple life that you just spoke about.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's funny because we across the years now, we've been knowing each other for quite a while. Every time we met, we discovered that we had something in common. That's kind of a synchronicity with us. I'm pretty sure about it because, yeah, we had so many things in common. And yeah, it's true. It's true. But I love maybe when I was younger, of course, as old young people, you know, you wanted to be on a big city. You want to have opportunities, of course. And I had. So maybe it's because I had those opportunities that I now can easily get away from, you know, all the madness of the industry, let's say. And really, really enjoying teaching young children, you know, they're beautiful, they're my pupils, they're my sons and daughters, you know, and teaching guitar and music, you know, sharing reiki and sharing meditations within a small group. It doesn't matter if you have a big group or small group, it doesn't really matter. Never. This is what I learned when I was playing, you know, when I was beginning to play. If you have an audience of one guy, that's it. That means that you have to give him something. And maybe it's even harder, you know, if you have massive audience. So, I mean, I have that experience of playing for thousands of people in small clubs. I had that experience. And if you ask musicians, I'm pretty sure that everyone will tell you that if you play in a small club, the music is deeper. Because within an environment, when you have all the energies, when you have all people concentrating on what you're doing and sharing, there is a kind of transmission that is reiki as well, because you are giving them some good vibrations, then they receiving the vibration and then send them back to you. And so it's like a circuit. It's like a circuit, you know? And then when with the music, you can do meditation, or with the meditation you can play. You know, it's both ways, and that is beautiful. When you perceive that you are organic, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Wonderful. I wanted to discuss also Chinese medicine, but as we are talking about music, I'd love to hear a little bit about what are your latest projects in relation to music and meditation reiki. I know that obviously you work with professional musicians, you know, you share the stage with the police drummer Stuart Copland, you work with some of the greatest Italian artists such as Gianna Nannini, Francesco De Gregori and Franco Battiato. For international audience, this names mean nothing, but if you are Italians, these are some of the most famous artists in Italy, especially Franco Battiato, who recently passed away. So hat off, I mean, that's really impressive and remarkable. Do you do also music in relation to your interests of meditation and spirituality and reiki? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, you mentioned Franco Battiato, that he was a big star. He was a very, very spiritual person. Indeed. Let me say this, because it's important to understand that music and Reiki and are very, very related. In ancient times, you know, music was something that was used for healing. If you think about ancient times, musicians were magicians, were shamans, were people who can with the singing and with the traditional instrument could change, you know, the weather. And also the Reiki, one of the Reiki ideogram shows two people that are praying in a prayer position, and then the rain, the drops of the rain falling down. So there were these people that were able to get the rain on the crop of rice that was, you know, this is one of the meaning of the kanji of the Reiki symbol. When I attune, you know, we call it initiations, but we call them also attunements. So the person that wants to learn Reiki the first time on the first degree will receive 4 attunements. Now, attunements is the root of attunements is tuning, tune. So that means exactly that we are tuned with the frequency of the cosmos, of the universe. But we forgot, we went out of tune. So what the Reiki master basically is doing is to reattune you again to that frequencies. And the world is frequency, the universe is frequencies. The music is the king of frequencies, you know, because with an instrument, you put something vibrations, and that vibrations creates frequencies. And frequencies are like they expand, you know, they expand, reaching you, reaching the people, reaching the environment. So that's why it's important that we think about life as a frequency as well. And music that I, at the moment, am very much interested in doing is a music that is a meditative music, basically, because I just play an improvisation. And I record improvisation, and it's naturally I'm playing what comes out of the moment, and I call that instant composition. So basically, I use my guitar as a medium, and I am in a meditative state, and whatever comes out is something real. It's not something pre-thought or constructed, but it's something that comes natural. It's like Joyce called it the flows of consciousness. You know, as many authors have done that in different aspects of arts. And I think that is the most beautiful way to give music and to play. And then I share this composition. I have a podcast also called Music With. Let me say that for the audience. And it's called musicwithoutfrontiers.net. Where I upload this composition and I share with others, with people. It's free to download, and those are all instant composition. Sometimes I invited someone to play with me and together, just by it's pure improvisation. And sometimes I just added up some, you know, some strings or whatever. But the guitar line, the guitar part is completely the real one, with mistakes. Because mistakes is what makes art. I mean, we are more identified with our mistakes than with our, you know, everything. Everyone can do the perfect thing, but do the mistake, everyone has his own way of doing it. I like that.
Beautiful. So the podcast is essentially your improvisation of music recorded. So there's no talking at all. It's just your music.
Yes, yes. There's an intro and outro, but then, of course, just to presenting the podcast. But then in the middle, you just have a flow of music, complete improvised. And then, of course, you have to be on that frequency. Because I remember that. Let me say this, because you were talking about my musical experience. A few years ago in Rome, I was playing with an orchestra in a concert. And on the first row, I saw sit there Ennio Morricone, the big master that passed away also. And so I was so, you know, excited, but I was also so scared about having Ennio Morricone just in front of me on the front row. And I was playing and I had a, you know, mixed, I was watching on my score and then to Ennio Morricone, my score Ennio Morricone, because, you know, I was just kind of nervous actually. And then I saw him that from the beginning of the concert till the end, it was like this, with the head down and with the eyes closed. And he was not sleeping at all. He was listening to the music. And that was a big lesson for me, because that how we should perceive the frequencies, and we should listen to the music, because music is something we have to close our eyes and get into that frequency plane, frequency vibes, because the video is distracting. You know, we are now living in a society that's much more video oriented. I know that, but the video is distracting. And if you close your eyes, it's like a meditation. And if you have good vibes coming from you, and these good vibes promotes good vibes in you, so you start resonating with the music and with the musicians, and you start that love circle between the musician and the listener.
Oh, so beautiful, so beautiful. And I can feel like that's your real experience. You know, as you're talking, I can feel that you mean it. You have lived that. And it's true. It's like with meditation. That's why we have to close our eyes. Otherwise, all the energy goes into vision, and all the other senses get stimulated. and then the mind kicks in and all the thoughts. Whereas with closed eyes, it's easier to be more sensitive and receptive. So, wow. You said something really that touched me when you said that looking at Ennio Morricone, a great master of music, he was listening. And also you had the sensibility to see that happening, to see him listening to the music. So that speaks a lot about your sensitivity as well. And that reminds me of Osho, because music it's been a big part even today of Osho's way of helping people to experience meditation and go beyond the mind. So what did you learn from Osho that helps you in your work as a musician or in your life in general?
Well, touching is a beautiful word. And think about, let me just point this out. Think about, we touch with our hands, you know? We use hands for healing, for Reiki. So the touch is the touching of hands. Hands-on is the Reiki is also called the hands-on healing system. So touching is putting your hands on, and touching is related to our arms, and our arms get to the center of our heart. So the word, when we say we're touched by you, that means that you came through my heart, through my hands, through my arms, reaching my very big center of my heart. So Osho touched me, I would say, that in a way that will never leave, because he touched my life. He came at the right moment, touched my life, and showed me what is unconditional love. Unconditional love is when you touch and you are touched in a way that would have any mind think. So there's nothing that I want to have from you, and there's nothing you want to have from me. It's just pure love, unconditional love. And also, if you want to have something from me, it doesn't matter, because my love is unconditional. So that was, I think, the big thought that I received from Osho. And also the thing that I also like to mention is the way that Osho showed that it's possible within a small community to live in a simple way, also without peaceful, in a peaceful way, simple way, and also without money. Because it's true that, you know, the community of Osho, of course, has to have visitors, you know, who pay for courses and whatever. That's pretty fun. But within the community, they could live by themselves, just growing their food, having their water. You know, everything is self-sustainable. So I think that Osho showed us also that we could live in a self-sustainable society, community, in love and peace and with no problems at all.
The next question is very much related to this, but I wanted to hear from you. You're not formally a sannyasin, but you hang around sannyasins a lot. And that's how we met in an Osho event during meditation. And you go to Osho places all the time. You practice Osho meditations. You did the Reiki course with a sannyasin, Gyan Prem, and you do Osho Neo Reiki. So what's the pull for you to be around Osho people?
Because I feel I'm an Osho people. I'm an Osho guy. I want to say that, because many sannyasins sometimes ask me that. Sannyas is when you, for me, it means that you have been touched by Osho. That what sannyas is. Then that you want to leave your old skin and have a new one, and you want to prove that changing your name and taking the sannyas. And this is pretty obvious for me that happened to me. So, and I said, and I say, if Osho was still alive, I would probably have taken the sannyas from him. But I don't feel the urge of doing it because I already got the sannyas. So I have a spiritual name that is Iggy, and I do. Basically, most of my life, I spend that with doing Osho meditations, Osho New Reiki, meeting Osho people. So I feel like one of you. So there's nothing that separates me from you at all. It's just that maybe there's no the formality of it, but I can guarantee that the deepness, it's all there.
Absolutely. Well, in terms of how I feel when I'm with you and there is this symphony, it doesn't matter if someone is a sannyasin or not, but there is that love, that connection, and goes beyond. So beautiful. The last topic I wanted to cover before we end the podcast is Chinese medicine, because I know you're also very passionate about Chinese medicine. In addition to Reiki and to music, you are a licensed acupuncturist, and you also visited Japan and China. And I've seen some pictures on social media when I used to have Facebook. Now I completely delete all my accounts and I'm happy with that. But at the time, I remember seeing you on top of the mountains of Japan and China. You went there to learn medicine and healing systems of those traditions. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, let me say that you did very well to leave all the socials. I'm thinking probably do the same very soon. And so congratulations for that. Well, I had this passion for Chinese medicine because of course, of my Reiki path. And I have studied and practiced with one of the last students of Master Dong. And the Master Dong acupuncture is not the traditional acupuncture, but was a particular lineage that was handed down over generations only within the Tong family. And then in Taiwan, because he was the last one practicing this particular acupuncture, so it was the last one, and then he decided to give it for free to some of the students. And I studied with one of these students. Is a very well-known, well premier doctor, actually. His name is Wei Chen Yang. And that really fascinated me because I started to understand and to learn that when we work with Reiki, we work with energy. And there's a particular, and this is studied by a Japanese doctor, it's called Motoyama in Japan. He researched that in particular points, the energy that comes out from our bodies is bigger. And that relates to the acupressure point, particular acupressure point. The Qigong, that is the one of the probably most famous activity of the practice in China, was born as a medical Qigong. So the Qigong was an healer at the beginning of the Qigong. We're talking about 5,000 years. So when the Chinese language started. Bear in mind, Chinese language has 4% of pictographic words. So that means that every character, every pictograph represents an experience. But at that time, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, when they started, and it was the time also when the man in the meditation that discovered the meridian system. So at that time, there were the pictographic words, maybe they were much more than now than today. So the basic thing is that every character is a picture of an experience. And I already told you about, I already mentioned about the Reiki symbol, you know, that is the Reiki symbol is what the Qigong master used to do. Because at the beginning, the Qigong master were the shaman and they worked with energy. Actually, Qigong, Qi is our vital energy, is the key. Is what Reiki, and Gong is the mastery. It means the Gong is we call it sometimes Kung or Gong. It's the same word. It's just different translation. translation, but the symbol is like looks like a square, for the carpenter's square. So it means the mastery. So this work of the Qigong masters was to, you know, to allow rain, but also light to fall upon us or on the crop of rice to give the fertility. And when I studied this particular medicine and acupuncture, I realized that they share the same path, the common path. It's the work with energy, it's the work with light, is a way to reconnect us with our soul. But reconnected us with our soul means also that we are reconnect us with our healing system. When we are healed, we are whole and we are holy. That's the same Ruth.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And obviously make sure to link your website and the podcast in the show notes. So if everyone is interested to having some Reiki sessions with you or acupuncture, I guess you need to be in person. I don't know. But anyway, I'll leave all your contact details for people to get in touch with you. So we are heading towards the end. I have three final questions. Before that, is there anything you want to add?
Yes, Ram, please allow me to say that here now I'm in this beautiful town in Italy on the seaside. And here in Italy, I don't practice acupuncture. I used to practice in London and in UK. But here in Italy, the laws are different and you need to be a doctor, formal doctor trained. So I'm not practicing acupuncture here in Italy, but of course, Reiki and meditation.
Italian bureaucracy, eh?
Yeah, there are a few countries actually in Europe that do not allow to practice acupuncture, but many others allow to do it, like Switzerland, Holland. You know, you can do it as in UK. But I don't know, maybe in the future laws will change. Let's see.
Okay, so the final three questions. Some of the things, of course, you already mentioned during the interview. But let's kind of wrap up everything with these three questions. First one is, what is Osho's greatest contribution to the world, in your opinion?
Yes, as I mentioned before, of course, I think the Osho is unconditional love, is the most beautiful thing that Osho showed us, that a man can live his life with being an unconditional love person. And then also, the idea that we can live together peacefully in a self-sustained community, because when the ego, you know, is put aside and there's no desire to have more than another one, and we all have the same thing, we all share the same thing. So there would be no problem, you know. Osho mentioned that maybe two things could be two enemies, you know, in a commune, self-sustained commune, money and sex. Those are the two things that could be a little bit problematic. But if in a way people in a commune try to manage those two things, money, we don't really need money. Sex, well, I mean, love is beautiful, much, much more than sex. So, I mean, this is what I perceive we wanted to show to everyone.
Okay, so did you just say no money, lots of sex?
Well, you can also put the invert the equation, and but no, I'm saying that actually we have to see what we need to survive. So the simplicity, yeah, we don't need money really to survive. If we build a cooperative association, a community where everyone puts his talent for the benefit of others. So money we don't need actually, and sex we only need for reproduction. You know, yoga means union. So basically, it's the tantra. So at the beginning, yoga was not postural. I'm pretty sure about it. It was something that worked with tantra, because being in union with the universe. And so sex is naturally related to procreative act. That is what it is.
Okay. So the second question is, what is the most beautiful gift you personally received from Osho?
Oh, well, I received my experience of life now. Because what I'm living now is thanks to Osho and thanks to the angel that came that day and knocked at my door and allowed me to be part of Osho and of his vision and his love. So I think the big gift is having every day the practice that, of course, connects my practice with Osho.
And that leads us to the last question. What is your favorite way to feel connected to Osho?
Well, my favorite way, I have many, actually, ways that will connect to Osho. There are also in Reiki, there's in the Reiki second level, when there will be given some symbols, there will be also some mantras. One of the mantras always reminds me of Osho, and is the mantra of oneness, so of union. So this is one of the main. And of course, I mean, every time I sit in meditation or sharing the meditation with friends. Here I have a small group of people that every week we meet for meditating. Every time I start a meditation or I'm in meditation, there is the best connection I can ever have.
Okay, that's beautiful. What, Iggy, thank you so much for opening your heart and sharing everything you have learned and experienced in your life. I actually really heard for the first time your story of how you got started and how you got into Osho and to Reiki and your views on life and on spirituality. And it's beautiful to always exchange ideas and share what we have inside with like-minded people. Sometimes not everything, we agree on everything, but that's the beauty of it. So I really thank you so much for coming on the show and being part of the Love Osho podcast.
Yes, Rama, thank you very much. You know, agreeing is something with the mind, but resonating is something with the heart. So it's the most valuable thing is to resonate, and then agreeing is, you know, is a B-side. So thank you so much for inviting me. It was a big pleasure. Thank you. And I hope you will have a wonderful life ahead, and to all my your sannyasin, your followers of the podcast, and all those sannyasin friends, a big love for me. Thank you.
And it's so beautiful. Yes, resonated with the heart. Big hug from the heart and lots of love to you and all the friends, sannyasins and non-sannyasin, whoever is listening to the podcast. Thank you so much, my friend. Lots of love.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.